history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are indeed stories there, untold stories that should not remain untold. You never know what we might hear when we ask a few questions and take the time to listen. The idea here is to honor our veterans for their service and their sacrifice, to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And you know, we always come out ahead because we're educated, we're entertained, often we're inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. This weekend marks the 75th anniversary of VJ Day, Victory Over Japan, and the end of hostilities in World War II. A decade ago, Congress officially made August 14th Spirit of 45 Day in an effort to remind us all of that spirit of unity, of relief, of freedom that existed in America and the world once that long global conflict had ended. Spirit of 45 observations are happening all over the country this weekend, and we'll have our own version of that here on the radio. Of course, Japan did not formally surrender until September 2nd, 1945, when those papers were signed aboard the battleship USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay. The Missouri is now in Pearl Harbor, of course, and that will be the site of a special commemoration when that anniversary rolls around in a couple weeks. I'm giving you a heads up now so you can plan on watching a live stream online on September 2nd if you go to hometownheroesradio.com. I have a link for you to the organization that's putting all of that on. It's the 75th commemoration of the end of World War II. Veterans who were on the Missouri 75 years ago are going to be there. The Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff will speak. World War II warbirds will be flying over. It's going to be something that's really worth tapping into. So put that on your calendar for September 2nd. We're going to hear how different veterans experienced VJ Day in different parts of the world today, but it was so meaningful for all the civilians back home as well. For 4 years, they'd been all in on the war effort, women going to work so men could fight overseas, Americans young and old sacrificing daily in the hope that freedom would be preserved. So that news of victory was significant enough to set up celebrations all over the United States. The most famous scene was in New York's Times Square, and if you'd been listening to NBC Radio that day, you would have heard a report from Ben Grauer that rivals the best sports play by play announcers ever in terms of how he described that exuberant scene.
This is the NBC mobile unit in the heart, center, and the pulsing focus of a joyous nation on Times Square in New York City. Ben Grauer reporting as I stand, literally stand, tiptoe, sticking my head outside the silver gray turret top of the NBC mobile unit and look uptown over a foaming, seething, writhing mass of faces lifted joyously and buoyantly and gloriously happy at the final conclusion of a desperate war which has seen its closing days in a desperate day or three or four of anxiety, turmoil, anticipation, doubt, fear, and being cast down. Are these people happy? That's the only word to express it. Are you happy? And all I need to do is turn my NBC microphone down over these folks here and to see this wave of smiles, confetti, streamers, banners, bells, jingles, flags, horns, and a joyous, buoyant, glorious look on everybody's face. If I can calm down for just a minute, I'd like to take this scene apart to see that here we have a combination of every type and person in the country represented by these people here. I can see by the looks on the faces that there's a person from out of town, from the West Coast, from Kansas, from Miami, from Oakland, California. There's a serviceman from the... Oh, they won't let me talk. The reason for that is that a daring Marine has just leaped upon a representation of the picture of the flag being planted on the peak of Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima and has raised a little but gloriously defiant American flag. And in victory, this little piece of bunting is going up to the top of the Iwo Jima. And now here's a sailor on the other side of this lamppost, which says Times Square Broadway, and he has been kissed close by the grape and by a beautiful girl because he climbed up that lamppost, a about 25, 30 feet high. Now he's in his own little crow's nest here in the heart of Manhattan, and he's waving a happy and joyous hello to everyone below him. He's got a rose stuck in his little pocket over his left breast, just above his campaign ribbons, and he's waving his hat happily in the air. Up above, I see nothing but a sea, a rolling mass of faces conspicuously marked by the white headgear of Navy boys. And down right here close to us, a quick glance at the massing, milling crowd would indicate that there's approximately 20% of servicemen. I think that's a fair estimate. They have been drawn to this, the focus and heart of New York City, and which expresses at this moment the pent-up jubilation and joy and relief after 4 years of war. Oh, he's made it! The sailor boy got to the very top of the lamppost and then reached the most precarious peak, and he's sitting right now on a representation of the seal of the city of New York. And he doesn't care if anybody knows it. Joy, glamour, beauty, excitement, and overall an expression of tremendous relief. I see also mixed in the crowd those who are silent, mostly older people, many of them perhaps people who will carry the memory of a loved one who hasn't returned, whose sacrifice is continuous. I see many people who are sitting standing mouth agape. The thing is so overwhelming that they can't express it in their own jubilation and just much others. There's a little gray-haired lady with a happy smile, somewhat toothless, but all over her face, and I see that she's got a service button with two stars on it. Our congratulations and joy to you, madam. And here's a little girl, a bobby soxer, if ever I saw one. And she's kissing a sailor right next to her. The sailors seem to be having the most of it. There's a girl with brimming black eyes, and she is smiling and kissing a soldier. The army has taken over for a moment here. And now the policeman, Mayor LaGuardia's representatives here, in a very kindly and understanding and sympathetic way, are trying to keep the crowd back who are pressing around this lamppost. And now the Marine is cast. A Marine's going up to challenge the Navy man up there. This, and ladies and gentlemen, is NBC's description from Times Square of a part of the VJ celebration in New York City. Ben Grau speaking and returning to you to the NBC newsroom in New York.
If you weren't alive in 1945, and I know I wasn't, that really gives you a feel for just how significant the news of victory over Japan was to everybody in America, young and old, 75 years ago this week. Among that sea of humanity in Times Square was a young Chinese-American merchant mariner named Murray Lee.
I was in Times Square when the Japanese surrendered.
That must have been interesting.
It was, because you know that we have that famous Kiss statue. Yeah. Here in San Diego? Well, I was there when that was going on, and I remember all these guys doing that, and of course, I was too bashful to go and grab a girl, you know, that I didn't know and kiss her. But I saw all these guys doing that, these Navy guys, and everybody was celebrating that. My friend and I did meet a couple of girls, and they said, oh, you want to go walk into Central Park or something with us? And I said, okay, we'll go and take a look at that. And so that was kind of interesting period, but we were very fortunate that was the end of hostilities, but it wasn't the end of danger, because when we were out in the Atlantic, we had to watch out for floating mines, because it was going up to Antwerp, and that we had a minesweeper going ahead of us. They had me go on the bow one time. They said, why don't you go do look out on a bow? And I said, look out on a bow? If we had a mine, that's the first place it's going to blow up, right?
Thankfully, that didn't happen. Murray Lee is a treasure who's done so many things to preserve history in San Diego, where he lives. And if you'd like to listen to his complete original interview about his service in World War II, you can find it at hometownheroesradio.com. As this episode goes on, we'll hear other examples of danger that servicemen would find themselves on and after VJ Day. You heard NBC's report from Times Square, but if you were listening to CBS radio that night, you would have heard a dramatic interpretation of what America and the world had been through, voiced by the one and only Orson Welles.
This day is the father of great anniversaries. Men and saints shall picnic together on 14 August, down more years than you or I shall see. So say it tonight with saluting guns. Say it with roses. Say it with a hand clasp, a drink, a prayer. Say it any way you want, but say it! Say it!
Mm-hmm.
Columbia Broadcasting System presents 14 August, a message for the day of victory by Norman Corwin, spoken by Orson Welles.
Congratulations for being alive and listening on this night. Millions didn't make it. They died before their time, and they are gone and gone. For the fascists got them. They are not here, but their acts are here. And they are to be saluted from the lips and from the heart before the conversation swings around to reconversion. Fire a cannon to their everlasting memory. God and uranium were on our side. The wrath of the atom fell like a commandment, and the very planet quivered with implications. Tokyo Rose was hung over from the news next day, and the emperor prayed to himself for succor. So sound the guns for Achilles, the atom, and the war workers, Newton and Galileo, Curie and Einstein, the Archangel Gabriel, and the community of Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, the peoples have come a long way since we were tadpoles. Much has happened, and the upward path has been strewn with dinosaurs, tigers, Caesars, slave traders, and fascists, in spite of which, as you have heard on the radio tonight, the best in the way of flags is flying over the once mighty lands of the enemy, and free men are being born on schedule. New free men, conceived December last, during a counteroffensive against their elders in the Ardennes, are tonight breathing and kicking and making fists, our heirs to victory. Whereas the saber-toothed tiger is nicely arranged with fish fossils in the museum, and Caesar is twice hacked to pieces by his countrymen, the second time strung up by the heels to cure. The trader in slaves cannot buy back his name from the contempt of the generations, and the Nazi is parted from his pomp and his Führer, pending announcement of the hanging day. The Jap, who never lost a war, has lost a world, learning at what cost to us all, but crime does not pay. This too is worth a cheer.
An excerpt from 14 August, a dramatic presentation voiced by Orson Welles 75 years ago. You can access that in its entirety at hometownheroesradio.com. Right now, it's time for our first break, but when we come back, more memories of VJ Day as our servicemen and women experienced it around the world 75 years ago this week. For some, it was exhilarating. For others, tragic. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.